Welcome, everyone, to the 2017 Artful Asker Success Club. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Remember the words of Maya Angelou that I quote so often, "You want to compose a good world. It's an honorable and noble profession." Yes, that's what we're in. We are in this honorable and noble profession of raising dollars for our organizations that are so vital to composing a good world. And I want to take this minute to just sincerely, and I hope you know how powerful this is for me, sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you who get out of bed every morning and hopefully say, "I create my life," and then go about your day composing a good world. Thank you. Thank you. We need you. We appreciate you. A special welcome to our new members. We have lots of them on the call this month for you, and as well as a reminder to all of us. Here's what the Artful Asking Success Club is. Understand first and foremost that just by showing up, you are already stepping into a better year. Sometimes showing up is enough. Just being in a space or place where the magic can happen. How many times have you said, "Oh, well, I suppose I should show up. Yeah, I showed up." And then you run into somebody who you haven't seen for a while or some magic happens. So showing up, thank you for showing up. And if you keep showing up and if you start looking deeply into how you show up, it determines what you'll get from this program, from just being there and from life in general. Think about how you show up. The Artful Asking Success Club is 12 monthly, what I call them, teleshows with me or with a special guest that I feel will add to our topic. This year I'm adding quarterly question and answer calls. You can email in a question. You can call in and ask a question. These calls will all be recorded, and I'm hoping to add video soon for you to use and review forever. When you sign up to be a part of this, you've got the information for always. I'll also be giving this group this year invitations to special receptions when I'm speaking. So coming up next month, February, I will be in San Antonio with AFP Chapter of San Antonio. I'll be in Memphis with the Association of Schools of Journalism and Mass Communications Conference. And I hope that I perhaps see you at one of those. I'll have a kind of a reception at both of those. And looking way out, of course, I always host something at International AFP. So if that's on your list this year, part of this group is getting notice of those receptions. I'm toying with the idea of a private Facebook group where we can kind of talk to each other, just those of us that are part of this club. Let me know how you think about that. And new this year, during each one of our programs, I'm going to take time to have a little bit of an exercise. I'll work with this. I'll try it. We'll see how it goes. And then I'm also going to send you some kind of a worksheet. So at the end of each one of our calls, you have a bit of a homework assignment. Now, I understand that you have full lives, and I want to be sure that this isn't burdensome to you, but I also want you to get the very most you can get out of this. So this year, I've designed this program to really look at you personally as a development professional. And it will still certainly have mixed in the how-tos, you know, how to set up an appointment, how to make an ask, all that kind of stuff. But I'm really going to focus more on you and how this profession and how you can be great at composing a good world, but maybe a little less, you know, a little more happy, a little less stressed. So I'm doing a special year-long program, and I'm calling it Dial Down the Drama, Dial Up Your Success in Raising Support and Life. Let me just mention a few of the topics that I have in mind this year. Today, of course, is setting intentions. We've got to always start with that. Just glancing through the whole year, I'll have one call on dealing with big problems. Coming up in June, I have a call called Creating White Space and Protecting My Time, Yet Being There for My Donors. Oh, yeah, and also my family. That's my June topic. In November, probably well-placed, I'm talking about managing my energy. How do we manage our energy? It's actually more important than managing your time. So the whole series is created, and I'm excited about what the year holds. Today, I'm delighted to launch my Artful Asking Success Club program, Dial Down the Drama, Dial Up Your Success. You see, we spend precious energy and time engaged in emotions that don't serve us. I certainly have. In fact, they can drain us, absolutely drain us. Oftentimes, over something that really, when we reflect back, wasn't worth giving all that emotional energy to. Would you agree? How many times have we wasted precious moments lamenting about what might happen if that major gift doesn't come in, if we miss our goal, if we don't get enough exercise reps in, if our kids act out? What if we have a change in leadership? What if our ED or our CEO or our dean or our board chair leaves? What if our spouse loses interest in us as we age? No, my friends, there are a lot of us that our relationships go beyond what we do at work, and they impact how we can show up and be each day. Goodness, what if our phone dies? Now, that's something to be worried about. Well, all of the things I just mentioned certainly are possible outcomes we could have in our life. But there's scores of other possible outcomes. How many times, really, be truthful here, did you absolutely dread that something might happen and then finally deal with it, only to say, you know, that wasn't so bad. My goodness, why did I make such a big deal out of that? And I'm sure glad it's done. Or why did I wait so long to deal with it? That's what I'm getting at. That energy that we spend all wrapped up in what if. I want a different one for you. What if it were possible to have the outcomes we wanted and enjoy life at the same time? What if it were possible? Why isn't it possible? Watch yourself. Be aware. Listen to yourself. When do we use the word or when we should be using the word and? So what if it's possible to have the outcomes we want or have enjoy our life more, instead of what if it were possible to have the outcomes we want and enjoy life? I want it all. I put an and in there where way too many people put an or. It's not an either or, my friend. It's an and. It's an and. Start rewriting your thoughts and replacing those ors with ands. Okay? So let's dial down the drama. Let's look at our success. How can we manage that drama that's so ever-present in our organizations and work, and then add home on top of it? When you are more settled, you're more productive and happy. We know this. This is not revealing the great secret of time, all time here. This is my question for you. Why do we often know what we need to do to help ourselves? So, example here. For me, I know. This is so simple. This is so simple. I know that if I'm kind of getting worked up on something, got a couple of emails, had a few things happen, you know, got behind in the time, got a little late. This morning my horoscope was a 5. Uh-oh. Who? And know that for me, if I simply put on my shoes, even in the 20 degrees in Wisconsin today, if I go out the door and I walk around my house, I will feel better. Why don't I do it? Why don't I do it? I know that each and every one of you knows something that you do that helps settle you. Maybe it's just that deep breath. Maybe it's getting out of your chair. Maybe it's just standing up, changing your perspective. Maybe it's clapping your hands. You have something. You know what it is. Why don't you do it? Why don't we do it? So, at the core of everything we do, raise money for our organizations, be a solid partner, perhaps also be a solid parent, participate in the day-to-day fabric of planet Earth, there are ideas you can embrace that will make your journey better and brighter, yielding more of what you want and less of what you don't want. That is what I want for you. I want you to see a dial. Now, this is the time when you've got to visualize, because visualizing and having what Tony Robbins calls anchors is so important to your success. And, you know, it's kind of funny. There are not as many dials in our world as there used to be. I had to really search. So think about an old-fashioned volume dial on your radio or your receiver, your stereo receiver. I mean, that you actually crank and you can turn it up and turn it down. Now, I'm doing this. Do it with me. I'm reaching out and I'm actually, you know, putting my fingers together like I'm cranking something and I'm turning it up or down. There's a dial on the speakers by my computer. I can turn it up or turn it down. I also saw that on my crock pot, I could go from low, medium to high. So I want you, whenever you come in touch with a dial you can actually put your fingers on and crank, take a minute. Picture yourself cranking up, cranking down. Take in the fact. This is the key. You control the volume. You control low, medium, or high. You control where the dial is. You can reach out and turn it up, or you can reach out and turn it down. You control your hands on the dial. So when something's happening, think about, I'm grabbing this dial now and I'm turning it up or I'm turning it down. So that irritating email from a colleague, I don't know about you friends, but I can read an email and I can feel that it makes a shift in me, either a great shift or sometimes a not so great shift. Turn the dial. Sometimes I get these sugary sweet ones. I've been kind of working on a problem this last week. Marcy, I didn't get that form from you yet. Did I miss it in my inbox, perchance? The dial's moving up, and I'm going to bring it back down. Or maybe this situation from a major donor you just had a great ask from, and you've got a plan to reconnect this week to follow up with their decision on the ask, and you see them in your email. Oh, boy. And it says, I know I really should have called you. Uh-oh, you're thinking. But we were pressed for time. Janet and I have decided to go ahead and name the new center. I know we were planning to meet again this week, but we just can't wait. Will you go ahead with whatever is next? Whoa! Now, did you see that dial flinging around during that? First off, where did your mind take you when you saw them in your inbox? You were like, uh-oh, I was supposed to meet with them this week. Why are they emailing? What can this be? Why do we go there? Why do we go to that negative answer? Watch yourself. Replace it. Oh, look, it's Janet and Bill in my email box. And I bet this is good news. And then we start, I know I should have called you. We think, uh-oh, they're sending me an email instead of calling me because they didn't want to talk to me. Really explore those things that go on in your head. Go on in your head. They were so eager they couldn't wait. Dial up, dial down the drama. Woohoo! Do you want to create your life or do you want to react to what everyone else says and does to you? How do you want to go through your days? It really is your choice. And even had that email I just read to you said, you know, Janet and I have decided now isn't the right time, that's still our choice to say, okay, no judgment. What am I going to do next with Bill and Janet to move towards this project? Because I still really believe that this is something they want to do. Half of us get out of bed in the morning and the first thing we do is look at our phones. And we're reacting. We're reacting to somebody else. Take back the power that you create everything that's in your life and everything that isn't. I choose to start my day saying, I create my life. That's the first thing that's going to happen to me. Emails, texts, interruptions, other folks are all just setting you up to react when you want to proactively take actions that you decide based on how you intended to do this day. It's as simple as writing out your to-do list or your get-to-do list, as I call them, and doing them. At my live sessions, you know, those of you that have been with me, I always have folks stand up and say, I create my life. I create my life. You do. That is true. That's a truth. That is a simple truth. So let's get clear on exactly who you intend to be, what you intend to do, and what you intend to have this year and beyond in your life. So what's an intention? Well, according to Wikipedia, and I actually give to Wikipedia so that they can keep doing what they do, intention is a mental state that represents a commitment to carrying out an action or actions in the future. Intention involves mental activities, such as planning or forethought or considering. Now, let me read that again, because it's very different than what we think about as a goal is sort of, you know, you put it out there and it's this whole idea of big, hairy, audacious goals. I find some of that a little fearful. But my intentions, it's a mental state that I'm putting myself in. I'm stepping into a different position of power in my life. I am choosing. This is who I intend to be this year. This is how I intend to show up. This is what I intend to do. This is what I intend to have. It's a mental state that represents my commitment to carrying out an action or actions in the future. Deepak Chopra, who's an MD that I follow, says, intention is the starting point of every dream. It's the creative power that fulfills all our needs, whether for money, relationships, spiritual awakening, or love. Everything that happens in the universe begins with intention. Whether I decide to buy a birthday present, wiggle my toes, or call a donor for an appointment, it all starts with my intention to do so. But I want to be clear here. It's not just like you say, okay, I intend to raise $1 billion this year, and bam, whoosh, voila, done. Just because I intended it, now it's going to happen. No. Just like a major gift relationship, it's a relationship. All of our work, we always say, it's about the relationship. It's about the relationship. Yep. Well, think about this. We have a relationship with our intentions. So just like our major donor relationships, ebb and flow, they take turns. They're more positive. They're not as positive. We run into a little bit of an obstacle. We work around that obstacle. We come up against a wall. We figure out how to get around it or through it or take it down. Same with our intentions. Same with our intentions. We're in relationship with our intentions. I'll share a quick personal story. My intention from 5 years old on up was to be a veterinarian. And I was so afraid to say that I had changed that intention. In college that I did all my pre-vet, all my pre-med, got into vet school, and went, what am I doing here? I don't want to be a veterinarian. No, we have to be in relationship with our intentions, which means that we have to also be open to them changing, flexing, morphing, developing differently based on what happens in our life, those longer-term ones. The sages of India observed thousands of years ago. I want to be clear with you that this is not new stuff. This has been around, good heavens. Determined that our destiny is ultimately shaped by our deepest intentions and desires. The ancient text declares, you are what your deepest desire is. As your desire is, so is your intention. As your intention is, so is your will. As your will is, so is your deed. See, hear action in that word? As your deed is, so is your destiny. Bum, 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 bum. You hear Star Wars there. So if you want to raise more money than ever this year, if that is really your desire, it will happen. Now, I want to take about 5 minutes to have you do a bit of an exercise. I hope all of you are in a place and space where you can write a few things down. Grab a pencil, grab a piece of paper, go to your computer, get a screen to type. If you're driving, please don't do this. Think about it. Simply think about it. So I'll send a worksheet again afterwards, but I want you to start thinking along these lines right now. And you'll probably need more time with this, but let's just get started and I'll time it. So we're a few days into 2017, but as quickly as you can, grab that pen or start typing, as quickly as you can, write a list of what worked well for you in 2016. What worked well in 2016? What went well? Now, this can be a mix of personal and professional. Go, start right now. Start right now. What went well for you in 2016? Write. Think about it, write. What went well? So I'll share a couple of things that were on mine. I made a great big wall calendar for the whole year, and it helped me stay ahead of the big events and trips because I could see them coming up better. I started walking outside. I took an anniversary cruise with my husband. I hired 2 great team members. I doubled the number of conferences I spoke at. I saw my son through his senior year and graduation from high school. Those are some things on my list. Right. What are on yours? Right. I'll give you a few seconds to think on this. I'm going to keep saying a few things because I want everybody to know we're all still connected. We're all still here, but you're writing. Stop. Do this. Take action. Write. What went well? I'll give you about another half a minute. What went well? I know that so many things went well. Think about everything that went well. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. The Thanksgiving turkey was fabulous. You saw family. This donor came through with a major gift you weren't expecting. You spoke a great ask. What went well? What went well? Okay, now I want you to write. Put down a list of things. Okay, they didn't go so well. Maybe they didn't turn out like you wanted. So what didn't go so well in 2016? Where were some hiccups? Again, I'll share a couple of mine. I fell off my walking habit when I traveled. When I traveled, I got to strange cities and hotel rooms. I wasn't sure if it was safe. I was jet-lagged, and I fell off my walking habit. At the end of the year, I have so many clients now that when year-end hit all my clients, I struggled. I had a hard time keeping up with all of them. It was a lot. I had to learn different things in my energy and time management. And even though I hired a couple of good team members, I'm still missing a couple of folks I really need to have on board. So what were some things that didn't go quite well for you this year? Right. Right, right, right. Right, right, right. Write some things that, you know, didn't go quite as well, personally or professionally. Okay, now look at those lists, kind of glance over those lists, and again, you can go back and revisit this after our call and with the worksheet, but look at the list of what went right and what didn't go so right. And based on those two things, for sure in 2017, what are five actions you're going to take? What are five actions that, boy, line in the sand, you are going to do in 2017? This is going to happen in 2017. So one of mine is walking is a priority. You know it makes you feel better. Get up out of your chair, open the door, and go out and walk. You don't have to walk 65 miles. You don't have to make it brisk. You just get outside and walk around. It worked well for you, and when you didn't do it, you failed. Walk, Marcy. You don't have to work up a lather. You know, walk. Another one of mine was to talk to everybody that I run into about the team members I need, because the best people that I have working with me are people that others referred and suggested. So I want to really make talking about who I need in my team yet a priority. That's going to happen in 2017. What are yours? I'm drawing a line in the sand. This will happen in 2017 for me, personally or professionally, but be sure you have some of both. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's my little working music. Okay, now, this one is really important. This one's really important. So listen up. Looking at both your lists again, what will you absolutely, again, drawing a line in the sand, no longer tolerate in your life, personally or professionally? Is there somebody that's draining your spirit? Maybe the place you're working is no longer a fit. Maybe there's a situation with a family member that this is it. We are going to get some help. We are going to figure this out. But list, I don't know, 3 to 5 things that this is it. You're done. And for me, they were lack of systems, one team member that isn't a good fit, we dissolved, and the fact that I don't get enough rest. Okay? What will you absolutely not tolerate? And okay, here's the last one that I want you to do. From this work, I want you to select 3 habits for this year, for 2017, 3 habits. I want you to identify one habit that you will start. So looking at what you said, this year, I have never done this, but I am going to start doing this now. I'm going to start doing this. And then I want you to pick one habit that you're going to stop. I'm just not going to do this anymore. And then I want you to pick one habit you're going to keep. So this is only 3 habits in total, one that you're going to start, one that you're going to stop, and one that you're going to keep. And I'm just trying to find here are mine. All right, and so mine was I am going to start actually scheduling and time in my calendar more firmly. I'm going to stop comparing my work to others. It's not productive. It dims my light, and it has nothing to do with it. And I'm going to keep walking. So what are you going to stop and keep? Okay. Was this helpful? I sure hope so. And again, if you weren't able to finish, make some time to go back over it later. Now I want to talk about creating intentions. So here are 5 steps to creating your intentions. The first one is to be quiet. We are so busy and going so much we hear today all about meditation and all of this. You know, it's really just as simple as being in a place and space where everything is quiet. This means a lot of times, I think, no music, no nothing, where you simply just sit and don't speak. And it takes a while to just let the brain chatter settle down. Just to even, you know, even as I start being quiet, there's still all this going on in your head. And while you, after you get it quieted down a little bit, ask yourself, you know, how do I want to show up? What do I want to have? Who do I want to be? What do I really want to do? And marinate on these thoughts. Think about a beautiful dish marinating. And there's no right or wrong amount of time. Don't make this a big task. Don't make this something you're going to either succeed or fail at, for Pete's sake. Sit there, and if it's a couple minutes, fine. If it's an hour, fine. And then after you're quiet and you stop, then let it go. Don't judge it. Don't say, well, you know, I wonder if this is really going to happen. I wonder what I need to do next to make this happen. Wow, I just had a really big thought about what I'd like to do. Simply stop thinking about it. You're done now. The third thing is avoid complaining and stay away from negative people. Don't let other people throw doubts on what you want to do. No, this year I'm really going to get out there and make major gift calls. I've decided I'm going to double the number of major gift calls I'm making this year. Fat chance that's going to happen. How do you think you're going to get that done? Or, you know, we already can barely get in what we're supposed to do now. How do you think you're going to double them? You know, you just don't need that. You just don't need those people in your life. So just avoid them, and yourself saying, boy, I really don't know if I'll be able to get this done because I don't have the budget to get out there and make the calls I want to make. Stop complaining. Stop being around negative people as much as you can. Four, detach from the outcome. So once you put it out there, it's in your mind and it's in your consciousness. But you don't need to be saying every day, oh, I wonder if I did something today that's going to get me there. Don't make it a new problem. Enjoy it, that intention's floating around out there. Relinquish your rigid attachment to a specific result and live in the wisdom of uncertainty. That doesn't mean you're not clear about what you want. It just means you are letting go of the insecurity. It won't happen. To detach somewhat from intention is to believe in the power of your true self. Intend for everything to work out as it should. Then let go and allow opportunities and openings to come your way. It's amazing to me how an opportunity doesn't always look like an opportunity. It's amazing to me how once I set intentions, things will happen in my life, and I'm getting better at saying, oh my goodness, isn't this interesting? This came up just now when I needed to have this kind of a situation occur, and I didn't do anything about it. It just happened. It's all about setting these intentions. And last, five, let the universe handle it. Whether your higher authority is God, whether it's the universe, whether it's the, you know, the force be with us, whatever you relate to as that kind of energy that we all have existing here on planet Earth, let it handle it. You've put that intention out there. Now, let it handle it. Let the universe, God, let it help you. You focused intentions and set the infinite organizing power of the universe in motion. Trust that infinite organizing power to orchestrate and complete fulfillment of your desires. Don't listen to that little voice inside of you that has to be in charge. But maybe I need to do something more today. Maybe, you know, I don't know if I'm really getting this right. I found that I've actually missed opportunities when I try to control everything and only later recognize, oh, that was something that really would have helped me. Why didn't I pay more attention to that? Oh, my goodness. Oh, I had that hunch that I should call somebody about my program. Ugh, you know what? when I did, she signed up for another one. I had that hunch. Why didn't I follow what's happening to me, the opportunities coming in front of me, because I put that intention out there? Why don't I trust myself? It might be a certain donor. It might be a certain project. But when an opening comes up with another person and meets that fundraising need I was working on so intently, I need to be willing to see that that's something that is an opportunity presented from my intention. So the one that I try to force is not as good as the one that comes naturally. You've released your intentions on a fertile ground of pure potentiality, and they bloom when the season is right. I absolutely love that line. Now, let me be real clear that when you don't just sit there and wait for a sack of appreciated stock to land by you. It means that you believe in your hunches. You do the work of selecting your best prospects, creating plans for them, engaging them in the project, knowing that the right mix of folks will come. You keep taking action. But because of your focus, your actions lead to your intended results. Now, remember, so she's at the Cheshire Cat with the fork in the road, and she asks, which way do I go? And he says to her, where are you going? And she says, I don't know. And then he said, well, then any direction will do. So what does it mean to get clear? To get clear means you know who you are and why you do what you do. To get clear means you hold on to your vision even if things in the external world aren't yet where you want them to be. To get clear means you unflinchingly say no to things that don't align with who you are. So that's really important. What you eliminate is just as important as what you bring in. When you look at something that you do, I'll give you another great example on this. That's when somebody you sort of know says, hey, let's go out for a drink, and you're like, and that's the time when your inside is screaming, I don't know that I want to spend an hour talking to this person. Is this really an opportunity, or is this somebody that's just going to take my time? You've got to really follow that hunch and say, gosh, I would love to, but I really am managing how I spend my days and my time. And right now, I have things that I need to focus on differently. I hope you can understand that. You don't make up I just remembered I have a dentist appointment right now. No, you don't make up a lie, but you just say, this is where I need to be right now. To get clear means you're choosing your life at every moment. Your days are filled with choices, and you're always coming from a place of where your intentions are. To get clear means you're not afraid to apologize if you mess up, but you never apologize for who you are. So I'll give you an example of that. I submit, before I speak at a conference, I submit all kinds of stuff to the conference organizers so they can get it on websites and blah, 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 blah. And if I miss those deadlines, I apologize. I'm sorry. I messed up. But I don't apologize for the fact that I want it rich, I want fabulous content, and I want it to be just so. And sometimes I have to work on that perfectionism streak in me and meet those deadlines and plan my time better. But that's who I am. I want strong, strong content when I talk at a conference. So let me give you a few examples of intentions. My intention is to help more donors find connections to major projects they want to invest in. My intention is to make 50 more major gift calls this year. My intention is to get clear about the next step I'm taking in my life. You might say right now, oh my goodness, Marcy, I bet everybody else on the call knows just what they want. And I'm kind of sitting here going, I'm not so sure. My intention is to attract more money into my life personally and professionally. My intention is to get the encouragement and accountability I need to perform at a higher level. So, in other words, I'm not scared to death of my reviews or my metrics or any of those things. I am going to find how to get the encouragement and be accountable so that I can perform at a higher level. I'm going to embrace this, not complain about it. My intention is to be more creative and happy in my life. My intention is to, and this one I added because I've talked to so many people, and we have loss in our life. Sometimes I swear I only see some people at funerals. We lost a wonderful development professional here in Madison in late December. It was very hard. So my intention is to heal the grief I've experienced in the past year and move into the joy into a life of joy. At some point, we need to experience but manage that grief. And note, you can't set an intention, cannot set an intention for something you can't control. So in other words, to set an intention that goes, my intention is for my boss to be clearer in his or her directions to me. Ain't gonna happen, sweetheart. You cannot change your boss. You cannot change your donor. You cannot change your spouse or your kids. You cannot manage somebody else. You can only set intentions for yourself. So you could say, my intention is to continuously seek clarity from my boss so I know exactly what he or she is expecting from me. That is a good intention. Let me share with you 3 points about setting intentions and getting clear. Even if you think you don't know, you know. You might be scared, but somewhere inside, you know what you want. There are 2 kinds of intentions that come up for us, and it's good to be aware of them. There are intentions that move us towards something, so I want to get towards. My intention is to create a better relationship with my spouse by setting up some time. Or my intention is to be fully present when I'm with my kids. I want to move towards that. Or you can have intentions that move away from something. Woza. You know, December was wicked. December, I got no sleep. I didn't enjoy when I was out with my family or friends. I didn't even enjoy my time with donors because I was exhausted. I was frantic to get some of these calls made by the end of the year. I'm not going to have another December like that. So you set up an intention to move away from something. Does that make sense? So they move towards something or away from something. That's okay. The second thing, wimpy language gets wimpy results. So you know that I am a stickler about the words we use. And I believe so passionately that our fundraising vocabulary in front of and behind the backs of, quite frankly, our donors are key to our success. So don't use words like, well, maybe this next year, I intend next year maybe to do, or I kind of want to, or I sort of want to. Don't use wimpy words because you'll get wimpy results. If you want to raise significantly more major gifts this year, then say it. I intend to raise significantly more major gifts this year. This is what Yoda meant when he said, try not, do or do not. There is no try. Well, I'm going to try, maybe, sort of. Yeah, well, that's what your life's going to look like, a bunch of trying, maybe sort of. So the third thing is intentions can be tweaked. We do live in a dynamic life. The more we marinate on what we'd like to be, do, and have, the clearer it becomes. The more we start seeing those opportunities come into our life, the more we go, I see. Because we need to be as clear as we can be now. If someone's not clear about your intention, then you block your own success. Why? Because we don't know how to show up. He's sort of living the life, you're sort of living life as a shrug. You know, well, yeah, well, today I'll give this a whirl. We'll see what happens. Yeah, you know, well, I'm sort of going to do this. Sort of a shrug instead of a firm, upright, I create my life. Now I'd like to give you some thoughts about if you're still coming from that place that says, I really have no clue what I desire. I just really don't know. And this is starting to be fearful for you. Here's some things that could be happening. We have all of our lives been influenced by everybody around us, starting from our parents, our faith, people in our lives, others in our workplace, others at school, our teachers, all of these, our friends, all of these folks, social media, TV, all of these people have should on us all our life. Either you should do this, or they've told us that can't change, that can't be done. No, there's no way in that company that you'll ever get be able to shift your working hours. No, it's 8 to 5 there. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. So we've been told that's just the way it is so long that we believe it. And we're afraid to try something really different because we're afraid we're going to be stuffed down. An example might be, I really would like to shift my time so that I could be home for my kids in the afternoon. Maybe that can work out at least a few days a week, but we've been told this is just the way it is too many times. The second thing is, we're afraid we're going to get it wrong, okay? So, Marcy, I really don't know what I want because I want so many things. You see, I want to have more major gift work, but I want to have my event better too, but I also want to be there more for my family, and I also want to be there more with my colleagues. I want to support the people that report to me more. I want to have more interactions with my board. There's just so many things I want to do. I'm not quite sure. I have a new idea for an appreciation program for donors. Oftentimes, I found that people who have tons of ideas never really begin any of them. Why? Because it's usually more fun to have a bunch of ideas than to actually start something and complete it and finish it and take responsibility for the results. What if I get it wrong? What if it doesn't work out right? What if I start this new program and it really doesn't have the effect I thought it would? What if I say I'm going to make these calls and I don't get them done? So the problem is not really that you don't know what you want. The problem isn't having too many ideas. The problem is really the fear of choosing one thing and then finding out that maybe it wasn't right or didn't work out like you thought. And then what? Then what? So there's a bit of that perfectionism that comes in here. Because we don't really have any guarantee. We don't have a guarantee. But I can tell you that when we set an intention and when we live our life with that intention in there, that we are different already from 90% of the people that are out there. You folks on this call with me today are different than 90% of the folks around you, because you're choosing to set that intention. And all of the literature on success and development and life will tell us that when we have those clear intentions, we will be more successful. So the third thing that does come up is this failed past goal. So I tried it back in the past and it didn't work. I've tried this before, it doesn't work. You know, I've done this already and it doesn't work. I've tried every diet out there and I'm still fat. Well, you haven't tried this one. No, you haven't tried this. So it's this kind of goal setting where they say get really specific, but it leads us to saying, but what if I fail? What if I don't do it? And that fear will keep us from even trying. There's great value in setting goals. Let me be clear, great values. I do it all the time. But setting an intention is something that comes from a deeper place. Remember when I read that definition? It's when we make a commitment to be, to do, to have with our lives. The fourth thing is there's too much clutter in the way. This might be the most common reason that people think they don't know what they want. They've spent their lives believing they don't get to have what they want. It's not really possible for me. They've got this victim mentality that says, you know, well, that only happens for other people, not me. So instead, they just get into this kind of rat race of stuff they don't really want to do because they react and are victims to what everybody else tells them to do. So rooms clutter with items that mean nothing to them. Schedules overflow with stuff they really don't want to do. When your space is filled up with all this kind of stuff, it's hard to see through it and to uncover all of those true and uncover what you really want to do. So you have to kind of step back and say, what is me and what is somebody else? This last one I think is really important. It's called rest deprivation. So I cannot tell you how many times when I think about intention, sometimes it's, you know what, I just want to sit around on the beach and drink something sweet and alcoholic and with a little umbrella in it. I just want to do that. I want to do that, and that's what I really want to do. That's what I want. Well, this reaction isn't really an answer to the question of what I want to be, do, or have. This is really just that I am so flippin' tired from the way, the pace at which I'm living my life, that I just want rest, that really my intention is to just get some rest. And I find that this happens more with women, but, you know, not so much anymore. It's men, too. It's guys, too. We're juggling so much, and we're taught, see if this is you, we're taught that we have to give up our desires for the sake of the family, for our spouse, for our patients, for our donors, for our friends, for our church, for our whatever, but we have what we want for us. Now, I'm not saying that we don't want to be supportive of other people and that doesn't make us feel good, but we get too busy serving other people. And when it crosses the line is when we, as the givers, rarely take time for ourselves and rarely even ask ourselves, what do we want? And when we finally do ask ourselves, oftentimes we're so exhausted that the only thing we can think of is we want to sit on the beach with our little umbrella and our drink. That's scary because we know we can't make a living doing that. So once again, we have to get some rest behind it. So you've heard me say a confused donor doesn't give and a confused fundraiser doesn't ask. Well, a confused person doesn't progress. So I will be sending you a worksheet. It's called How to Create Your Be, Do, Have Dreamscape. And when I send out the audio for this call, I want you to set aside some time to work through this worksheet. Remember, you get to decide on the rest of this year and the rest of your life. Not your boss, not your board chair, not your spouse, not the budget gap you've been told you have to raise enough money to fill, not your kids, and not your fears. I mean, is it just not going to be your day, or it's not going to be your year again, or is this going to be your year? Write your ending now by being clear on how you want this year to end, who you will intend to be, what you intend to do, what you intend to have in your life. You will, on purpose and subconsciously, think about it, make decisions around it, make choices around it, take different actions around it. You want this ending. You get to write it, direct it, and star in your own movie. I create my life. Yes, you do. So it's your responsibility to clearly state that powerful ending right now. If you want to make 2017 the best year of your life, choose to become the hero. Choose to become, you know, when they print the actors and the actresses on the end of the movie, there it is. Oh, Marcy Heim. Yep. The hero, the star of your story. Think about it. Create the plot. Those big personal challenges and professional intentions dripping with excitement, boldness, audacity, courage, big thinking, awesome challenges and massive accomplishments. It's only when you believe and become your own hero, when you stand on your own two feet, when you believe that you create your life, you have the power, and you confront fear and overcome obstacles, that you're prepared and ready to unleash the best you. And we need you. We need each and every one of you. We need you to unleash the greatest you to help steer this world into its brightest future. Thanks for being with me today on our very first segment of Dial Down the Drama, Dial Up Your Success. I'll see you next time. Remember, your life is created first in your mind, then in your world. This is Marcy Heim, the Artful Asker. Until next time, invest in joy.